Today she is Mesechta B'Metzia, Daf Lamed Daled. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, five lines from the top. We had learned in our previous year, the Mishnah taught us that if somebody is a shomer of an object, and it's a situation which he would normally not have to pay because something happened to the object that he was watching, and he still paid, and then the person who had stolen that object is discovered, that the halacha is that he's entitled to kefil. The kefil doesn't go to the owner of the object, but it goes to the shomer, to the person who volunteered to pay, even though he wasn't obligated to pay. We shown him the debate. Why is this the halacha? Rashi says that it's here as an incentive. It's an incentive to motivate the shomer to pay, knowing that he was going to, that if the thief is eventually found, he will be entitled to the kefil. Ritva says it's an appreciation for the fact that he didn't have to pay for the kefil and he paid for it anyway. I saw that the Brikas Avraham suggests that what would be a nafgamina between Rashi and the Ritva? What would be the case if they are Edom that could say that the Pekodin was stolen? So if the Shomer, and the Shomer, even though they're Edom that are clearly testifying that this was stolen, the Shomer still paid back for the value of the Pekodin. So if we follow the opinion of Ritva, that it's being paid in appreciation for the fact that he was willing to pay and not be exempt because he's a shomer. So here for sure he's entitled to that appreciation. But if the explanation is because it's an incentive, here we can't really say it's an incentive. The person agreed to pay, even though he had absolutely no reason to have to agree to pay. And therefore perhaps in such a case where there's no appreciation involved, he would not be entitled to the kefil. But be it as it may, if under normal circumstances he agreed to pay and not be exempt, and then the ganef is caught, then he becomes the owner of the, he receives the kefil. And Rava explained that why is that. So Rava said, Nasa koimeloi, it's as if the owners made up with the shomer. If it's stolen and you will agree to pay for it, my animal is yours. And therefore, since you are now, you the shomer, are now the owner of this animal, that's why it is you that is entitled to the kefil. Ask Rav Zeira, if that's the way Rav explains, we understand the Mishnah, then the halacha ought to be, then the halacha should be that everything that's part of the animal, the wool and these babies that are born to this animal, from that moment should belong to the shomer. Because as Rava just explained, he became the owner of that animal. And asked the Gemara, Alamatanya, yet we've learned in a brisa that even though the shomer becomes entitled to the kefil, chutz migizosevel adasah, he does not get the givadasah, or he does not get that part. Elam Rav Zeira, because of this question, Rav Zeira has a different way of understanding the halacha of our Mishnah. Elam Rav Zeira, nasa ka'imaloi, it's as if he said, even though I'm going to make you the owner of this animal, you're not owning the animal to the degree chutz migizosah. That much, he didn't give him the ownership. Ask the Gemara, my Pascha, why did he give him ownership for the kefil, but he did not give him ownership over the serval of the sahab? Answers the Gemara, stam de milsa, shafcha de asa meila, something that is not part of the animal, that means kefil, which is not part of the animal's, what is the animal? Of an ishtamakni, somebody will sell that off. However, shifcha de magufa, something that comes from the animal itself, So as I understand what the Gemara means to say is that it's automatic. It comes, so to speak, very easily. So a person is not likely to give that away. But of an inish, the maki. Ikadamri, but the Gemara gives a different explanation of Rava. And that is Amar Rava. The Rava explains that how are we to understand the Mishnah? Nasa Kaimer, we understand the Mishnah, Nasa Kaimer, it's as if the person who left this object with the Shimer, L'chishetignoiv, V'tirtzvetishlameini, if you'll agree to pay me if the object is stolen, when will you become the owner of that object? Samach L'gnevasa K'nuyelach. Right before it's stolen, that's when it's going to become yours. So there's a very interesting machloikus here. This halacha that was saying that it's the moment that it's stolen, right before it's stolen, it will become yours. Is that by Geneva only, as the Gemara just said? What will be the halacha by Aveda? So it says that by Aveda, the Shita quotes the Ritva that says by Aveda, the halacha would be different. And by Aveda, the halacha would be when you pay on my behalf, that's when it will become yours. And what's the difference between Geneva and Aveda? It's very simple. Because Geneva, it's not here anymore that he should be able to do a kinyan. So he has to do the kinyan before the Geneva takes place, as we discussed in our previous year, the concern of a davishlo b'loilim. By Aveda, it's here, it's just misplaced. And therefore, since it's here, the kinyan can be effective the moment he pays for it. I did see that the Tzois is not quite agreeable to this, and the Tzois's opinion is that by Aveda as well, that's part of what the agreement was between the owner of the object and the Shomer. Ask the Gemara, my Benayu, so we've had two different versions of Rava's explanation of the halacha of our Mishnah. What's going to be the practical nafgamina? Ikka Benayu Kushad Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira asked, as we began today's shiur, what about the Vlodis? So if we're going to say that the animal becomes the Shomer's from when he undertook the Shmira, so then the Gemara's question that we began the shiur today, Reb Zeira's question, that then he should also be the owner of the wool and the babies, is a very good question. But if we're going to say that he only becomes the owner a moment before the Geneva, so then there's certainly everything until that moment belonged to the owner. Inami, another question is, when the animal before that time of Geneva was Kaimba Agma, it wasn't in the Shomer's property, it was somewhere else. According to the first version, it doesn't make a difference, because when does the Shomer become the owner of this animal? From the moment it was given to him. When it was given to him, it was given to him in his property, so he can make a proper kinyan. But if it's only going to become his a moment before the Geneva, so now we have to see where was this animal a moment before the Geneva. If the animal was in the property of the Shomer, and that's the moment that we want, that the Shomer should become the owner of this animal, fantastic. That's the kinyan that they stipulated. But if we're going to say that it becomes his all the way back, if we say it becomes his back to the time at that moment before the Geneva, and if at that moment it happened not to have been in the Rishus of the Shomer, so there's no way for a kinyan to take place, and the stipulation would become a meaningless stipulation. We learned in the Mishnah, Shilim v'le rotzel l'shava, if the Shomer, which the halacha is a Shomer, has to swear that shlo sholach b'yad, and if the Shomer, instead of swearing, said, I'll pay, then we had a discussion that when the ganef is caught, who's entitled to the kefil, who's entitled to the dal v'hei. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chibar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan, loy shilim shilim mamish, when the Mishnah says that he paid, it doesn't mean that he actually took out the money and paid. Al kivish amar reini mishalim. The moment that he agreed to pay, that's enough. Abi shaloi shilim, even though he didn't pay, it's already considered that he gets the kefil. Tanan says the Gemara, we learned that Amishna shilim v'loi rotzu l'shalva, if he paid and he didn't want to swear, doesn't that seem to indicate that shilim in, if he actually paid for the animal, that's when he'll get the kefil. Loi shilim, but if he didn't actually pay, loi, just committing to paying is inadequate, says the Gemara. Let's continue learning the Mishnah. Ema Sefer, Nishba v'leirotz l'shalim, if he swore and says, I'm not going to pay, so doesn't the Mishnah seem to indicate? Tamad l'leirotzo, because he didn't want to pay, he's going to exercise his right to swear, and once he exercises his rights to swear, that's what happened. So we see that it's the fact that he didn't want to pay, which means that he won't get the kefil. Harotza, seemingly, if he agreed to pay, after pishle shilim, even though he didn't actually pay, that's going to be enough for him to get the kefil. So therefore, says the Gemara, elamahal lamekla mishnah minah. What the Gemara means to say is that the reisha of the Mishnah takes us in one direction, the sefer of the Mishnah takes us into a different direction, and whenever we have a situation where the reisha and the sefer pull us in different directions, it means that the Tana, and one can even say the Tana deliberately wrote the Mishnah that way, that it should not be clear, because the Tana did not want us to extrapolate what will be the halacha, and our Mishnah cannot serve as a way to know what should be the halacha under this circumstance. But says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasid Rabbi Yochanan, there is a brisa that supports what Rabbi Yochanan says. The brisa says, Hasaycha par mechaveroi, if somebody leases a calf from somebody else with nignava, and it was stolen, v'amahalo, and the person who rented it says, Hareini mishalim v'ayin nishba, I'll pay and not swear, v'akach nimtza ganef, and then the ganef was caught, mishalim tashlumei kefil, the ganef of course has to pay Teshlumi Kefil, and he pays it L'Soicher. So of course Rashi asks the obvious question, isn't the halacha that a Soicher is Chayiv in Geneva Aveda? So why, by him saying that it was a Geneva Aveda, he wouldn't have to pay? So Rashi explains that if he's willing to pay, if he wanted a lie, he could have said that it was Nenser, there was an accident, and he would have gotten off the hook with a shvua. And therefore, by saying nignava, and now being obligated to pay the keren, the value of this animal, now if the ganef is ultimately caught, he will be entitled to the kefil. And Rashi continues to explain, because once he pays for the keren, in this case, he becomes the owner of this animal. And therefore, when the kefil is paid, it's paid to him because the halacha considers him the owner of this animal. Says the Gemara, Amra Papa, Shemachinam kivin shem pashati. A Shemachinam, as soon as he says pashati, he says pashati, he's again, makalei kfeila, he becomes the owner of the kefil if a ganef is caught. Because, as we just learned, the boy mafta nafsha b'kneva, he could have said that there was a geneva, and a chshay mechinam is potter on geneva v'aveda. And by saying poshati, he took on the responsibility of paying, and therefore the kefil becomes his. Similarly, chshay mechinam, kivin shama nignava, if he said nignava, he becomes the owner, as we just explained, and therefore if the ganef is ultimately caught, he is the one that gets the kefil. The boy potter nafshay, if he wanted, he could have said there was shvura mesa, and that's an oinus that he's potter. Shoyl shama, a shoyl that says hareini mishalim, it doesn't get off the hook. Loi maknin lekfeila, he won't get the kefil. Why? Because why are you going to say if he wanted to, he could have said my havale lemifta nafshe. If he wanted to get off the hook, he could have said mesa machmas malacham, that the animal died while it was working, and the halacha is that a shoyl is potter by mesa machmas malacham. Says the Gemara, that isn't a claim that we're going to work with. Because Meisa Machems Melocha L'Shchich, it's uncommon, and therefore that's not something that to be taken into consideration. Says the Gemara, Ikadamri, Amar Papa, Shoyl Nami, by Shoyl as well, Kivin Sh'Amar, Hareini Mishalem, once he agreed to pay, Maknalei Kfeila, he does get the Kefil. The boy, Pata Nafshe, if he wanted, he could have been off the hook, but Meisa Machems Melocha. Amalei Resvid, so Resvid said, Hachi Amar Abayam, Shoyl Achi Shalem, whereas we have been learning by all the other Shoimrim, that as soon as they accepted upon themselves the obligation to pay, even though they didn't actually pay, the halacha is that the kefil goes to them. By a shoyl, the halacha is different. The shoyl doesn't get the kefil unless he actually pays. My tama, why is a shoyl different than the other shoymrim? Says the Gemara, hoyl, v'kala noshala. We know that the halacha of a shoyl, or the type of shmira of a shoyl, is very different than everybody else. Because a shoyl, by everybody else, the shoymer is the one that's doing the favor to the owner of the object. By a shoyl, it's just the opposite. The owner of the object who lent this object to the shoyl, he's the one that's doing the favor, and the entire benefit is going to the shoyl. And since the entire benefit is going to the shoyl, because the halacha is that the owner of the object doesn't give rights to the shoyl, but the burei, just because the shoyl agreed to pay, that alone is inadequate. Lemakle kfeila, he only becomes the owner of that kefil if he actually paid. But here we're learning that by the other shoymrim, you don't have to have a situation that they actually paid. Once they agree to pay, that is enough. The Sfasema says, from here we see that if a person does tshuva, and he just commits to do tshuva, that A is enough for his tshuva to be accepted. And not only is it enough for his tshuva to be accepted, but actually, as we know, that when a person does tshuva me'ahava, when a person does tshuva properly, zedoynus nasla gezochios, his averus become mitzvahs, which is another way of saying that he gets kefil. It says the Gemara Tanya Kavosid Rezvid, there's a brisa that supports what Rezvid just taught us. The brisa says, Ashaya par mechaveru v'negneva, somebody borrowed a cow and it was stolen. V'kidem ashoyel v'shilem, and the shoyel actually pays. V'akach nimtz for the value of the cow. V'akach nimtz aganef, and then the ganef is caught. V'sham tashlumei kefil ashoyelim. But what it says here, the kedem ashoyel v'shilem, it wasn't just that the shoyel committed to pay, that he should be entitled to the kefil, he actually paid. Says the Gemara, l'lishta kamed rapapa, according to the first version that we learned in Rapapa, that said that the shoyel that says hareini mishalim doesn't get the kefil, v'adalev to yufta, because there Rapapa said that a commitment of a shoyel is inadequate. But here, there wasn't just a commitment. He actually paid. However, Lishna Basra, the Papa holds that even a commitment of a shoyl is enough. Here it says, kidem v'shelim, that he actually had to pay to get the kefil. Commitment alone is not enough. Amalach Rapapa. So says Rapapa, why is a question from the Braisa stronger than the question that we said from the Mishnah? That the Mishnah said the word shilem, but we said that shilem does not necessarily mean that he actually paid. The kimna, but we explained that what does the Mishnah mean with the word shilem? Ba'amar, that he committed to pay. Hachinami, even though the Mishnah said the word kidem v'shilem, all I say is that he committed, but he didn't actually pay. Ask the Gemara, how could you compare the wording of the Mishnah to the wording of the Braisa? Mi dami. Hasam, in the Mishnah, it says v'shilem, but doesn't use the strong expression loy k'tani kidem v'shilem. It doesn't say that he kidem, but here, k'tani kidem. Doesn't that clearly indicate that he actually paid? But just saying that you're going to pay is not enough. Says Mar, no, my kidem, the definition of kidem will be kidem v'omer. Midik says the Gemara, but Hamidiktani b'Soicher. The Brisa says by the Soicher. Vomar, that he said, that he's going to pay. Whereas by the Shoyul, the Brisa's wording was, Kida v'Shoyulim. So the fact that the Brisa changed its wording, isn't that clearly an indication, Shmamin Odafkiktani, that here all it means is that he said, by the Soicher just committing to pay is enough, and by the Shoyul, you have to actually pay, answers the Gemara. Midi Gabe Adadik Tanya. If the two Brisa, if this was one Brisa, the fact that the Brisa changed its wording would be a very strong indication that the Halacha by a Soicher and the Halacha by a Shoyul are different. And by a Soicher, a commitment to pay is enough, and by a Shoyul, you have to have actual payment. But if the two Brises, if these two halachas, the halacha of a Soicher and the halacha of a Shoyul, which are both stated in a Brisa, are not two Brises that were taught together, so it doesn't prove anything. Because each Tana who taught a Brisa used his own words. But you can't use the fact that one Tana used wording in one Brisa and another Tana used different wording in a different Brisa, that means that they mean to say different things. So the question now is, were these two halachas stated in one Brisa, or were these two halachas stated in two separate Brises? So says the Gemara, what they did was, Shailinu Latana Debeir of Chir, Debeir of Oisha, they asked the Tanoim Debeir of Chir of Oisha, who were the ones that compiled the Brises, Vamri, and they said, Gabe Hadadi Tanya, that's actually one Brisa. And therefore, the fact that the wording is different is indicative. And what it's indicative is that the halacha by a Soicher is that he becomes the owner of the kefo as soon as he commits to pay for the value or the value of the lost stolen object. Whereas by a Shoyul, it's only until he actually pays. Says the Gemara Peshitta, if the Shoimer said, Eini Mishalim, I'm not going to pay. V'chazva Amar Eini Mishalim, and then he said, I'm going to pay for the stolen object. Hakamer, he says, that Hareini Mishalim, and the halacha of what happens when he agrees to pay that we've been discussing kicks in. Ella, what will be the halacha, discusses the Brisa, Amar Hareini Mishalim, he first said, I'm going to pay, V'chazva Amar Eini Mishalim, and then he says, no, I'm not going to pay for this stolen object. Mai. How do we view what he said now, Eini Mishalim? Mi Amrina Mahedaka Hadabay, do we say that he retracted? Dilma, it doesn't mean that he retracted. All that he meant to say was, B'milsakai, he's still intending to keep his word, but he doesn't want to pay, he wants to stall, so all he's doing is, V'tchuyaka Matchalay, he's just stalling. The Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is that all it is if he didn't make a shvua. The Gemara's question is, if he made a shvua that he's going to pay, and now he's backing off, can he back off or not? But if there was no shvua, then certainly it means to back out. Many Rishonim disagree, and they say that once he agreed to pay, he cannot back out, even if it was without a shvua, that once he made this commitment, there was a real deal here. That's the way I saw the Ramban explains, that he committed to pay, and for that commitment to pay, as we've been learning, he gets the kefil, and therefore, at that point, there is no ability to back out, which is an interesting question in different area of halacha. If somebody lent money to someone else, and he saw that the person is not paying him back, so in his mind, he made up to forgive him on the loan. What will be the halacha? And then he sees that this person who borrowed money from him actually does have funds and should be paying him his loan. But in his mind, he was meichel him. Or another question is, if somebody has a tenant who has not been paying rent, and in his mind, he decides that he's going to be meichel him. And then he sees that his tenant has money, and I don't want to forgive him on the rent, but I already had done in my mind. What is the halacha of something that's something that I only thought about? What is the halacha? So the Chidah very clearly indicates that when it comes to Erev Yom Kippur and somebody had borrowed, somebody had done something, had bothered somebody, had hurt somebody's feelings, that the Mechila, the lave, is adequate. He doesn't have to articulate the Mechila. Of course, it's better if he does, but it's not absolutely required. But it seems to be the opinion of Mois Poskim that when it comes to financial matters, it has to be articulated. And even though there are strong indications that he was Meichel, he didn't ask him for the money that it's owed, he didn't ask him for the rent that's owed, unless the Mechila was clearly articulated, it's not to be considered a Mechila. Next case. Omer Hareni Mishalom. The Shomer agreed to pay. But then, Umeis, he passed away before he had the opportunity to pay. V'omer Bonov ain't on a Mishalom. But his children say, we're not going to pay. My, the question is, how do we view the statement of the children? They're not willing to accept their father's commitment. Oy Dilma, or maybe again, what we assume is the Milstavu and Kaimi, they're of course going to honor their father's commitment. But the Chuyu Kamatcha, they're just trying to stall. Next case, Shilmu Bonamai. It's not the father, way Rashi explains, that the father never said anything. The father was the Shomer, and before the and this object was stolen, and before the father made any comment, he passed away. But the children paid the value of the object. My Matza Amalai, could the owner of the object say, Ki aknik fila lavuchem? Where did I give, to whom was I willing to give the kefil? To your father. Dovli neich nefshi, because we had a relationship. He was a shomer of mine. L'datchu, but you, who were never my shomer, you were just the yorshim of my shomer. Loi, I never intended to be maknah to you the kefil. Ademolashna, the halacha does not, maybe the halacha doesn't differentiate. And I say, as Rashi, and I saw other explain, is that since my father and you had a relationship, and it wasn't limited only to being the shomer of this object, it was a broad relationship. That's why I was comfortable to give him the kefil, not with you. Next case, Shilim Labonim. If the shomer paid the children of the owner of the object, my Matza Amalei, Ki Av Akn Lavuna Kfela, Davlei Naicha Nafshi. Even though our father was ready to give you the kefil because you had a relationship, Aval Anan L'Didon Loi, we don't have such a relationship. Next case, Shilmu Bonim Labonim. Both of the original parties are no longer here. Not the original owner of the object, nor the Shomer. But they pay to each other. Do we say that this is a halacha in the object? And therefore, since they paid, they now get the kefil? Or does it only represent the special relationship that existed between the fathers, which obviously do not exist between the sons? Shilei Mechza. If the Shomer paid for half of the value, my, when do we say that he gave him kefil? They gave him the ownership of the kefil. When he took him completely, he paid him off completely. But if he didn't pay him off completely, perhaps that's not the halacha. Or for whatever percentage he paid, that much percentage of the kefil is he entitled to. Shol shtei paris. If he was watching borrow two animals, the shilam achzmam, and he paid for one of them, my, do we say that we look at this? This is certainly connected to the previous question. Do we say that for whatever you paid, you paid? Or do we say that this is one, do we look at this as one package deal or two separate deals? Shol minashutfin. If somebody borrowed something from partners, v'shilam le'echemen, and he paid one of the two partners, do we say that he gets half the kefil or not? Or vice versa. Shutfin, sheshalu. Two people borrowed from one individual. V'shilim echemem, and he paid back to one of them. My, how does the halacha look at this? And I saw that Ritva has an interesting approach to understanding this question. The Ritva's approach to this question is, if you borrowed something, we're speaking here about a situation where we're speaking here about a situation that two partners borrowed something, and one of the partners paid back. How does the halacha look at that? And it's a fundamental question. When two people borrow something, does it mean that each borrowed the whole thing, but he has a partner that also borrowed the whole thing? Or does the halacha look at this as each one of us only borrowed half of what was borrowed? And as we've mentioned in a previous year, the nafka mina will be, what will be the halacha if only one of the partners is able to pay back, the other partner is unable to pay back? What is the responsibility of the partner who has funds? Is his responsibility to pay the entire amount? Because the halacha looks at it as if I borrowed the whole thing and you borrowed the whole thing. We maybe borrowed it together, but both of us borrowed it. And therefore, if one of them will be unable to pay, the other one will have to pick up the obligation for the entire object that was borrowed. Or does the halacha say, no, when two people borrowed something together, each one of us is only responsible for 50%. And since each one of us is only responsible for 50%, so I have to pay my 50%, and the other partner has to pay his 50%. And if my partner is unable to pay his 50%, that doesn't have any bearing to me, and I only have to pay my 50%. And that, as it says the Ritva, is the way to understand the question that the Gemara just asked. Next case. We know that a wife could bring into a marriage nechsim elug. The nechsim elug, the halacha is, the keren, the actual principle of this object, belongs to the wife. The peiros belong to the husband. The shal menaisha, somebody borrowed something from the wife, the shilim lebala, but he paid the husband. So the question is it considered that you paid it to the owner of the object? On one hand, you could say that the husband is the owner because he gets the payers. On the other hand, an argument can be made that he's not the owner because he's not the owner of the object. So the Rajba asks, let's understand what is the Gemara's question here. What is the case? If the husband gave permission, so if the husband did not give permission, so the whole shayla was not acceptable, because you can't borrow nechsei melug without the husband's permission. And if the husband gave permission, so of course then the husband's entitled, because he was a real party in giving permission for this loan to take place. So the Rajba, because of this question, says that the case that we're discussing here is that even though the wife owns the keren, the nechsei melug, the husband has the peiros, when the husband said to his wife, you could do whatever you want, and since the husband allowed the wife to do whatever she wants, she went and lent this to someone. And now the question that the Gemara is posing is, how does the halacha look at the husband's role here? Ishish sholem, if a woman borrows something, the shilim bala, and a husband paid. So again, the question is, is the husband, to what extent is the husband viewed as an extension of his wife? And the Gemara asked many questions, and the Gemara says, teku, the Gemara doesn't resolve any of these questions. And I saw a machloikis rishonim, what is the halacha in these cases? Some rishonim say that in all these cases, the halacha will be yachloiku, that we should divide the kefil between the owner of the object and the shomer. Other rishonim suggest that this is not, that these are not cases of, that this is not a situation where we could necessarily apply the concept of yachloiku, not the concept of mamon amutah b'safek cholkim. It's not something that's divided. And they therefore say, here we say, hamotzi mechaveiro alav haraya. The question is, who is the motzi mechaveiro here? In general, this question is not, of course, not relevant b'zman hazeh, because as we learned in Masechta Baba Kama, there is no knas collected bezmanazeh. Kefil is a knas, and therefore bezmanazeh, this type of a question would not be relevant la loch lemaisa. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna, Mashbin Osoi, that even though we've learned that the Shomer is not willing to swear, he doesn't want to swear that he wasn't Shaleich Bayad, he's rather ready to pay than to swear, but he still has to make a Shvua Shena Bershusoi. My Tama, Cheshinon, we always need to be concerned that Shema ain't of Nosimba. Maybe he really wanted to keep it, and he's not a Ganef, he's just going to want to hold on to it. There's a very big machloikus Rishonim. If this shvua of shvua she'ena b'shusoy is a shvua d'raisa or shvua d'rabonon, the opinion of the Rosh is that this shvua is only a shvua d'rabonon because Chazal were concerned shema inam nasamba, and the opinion of Ritva is that because the shliach has to make a shvua the shloish sholach b'yad, so says the Ritva. Once he makes the shvua of shloi sholach bayad, then gilgul shvua, a concept that we learned, that once you have to make one shvua, then you have to make another shvua. Gilgul shvua says that he's also going to have to make a shvua that shein b'rishusoi, that he doesn't have it. And the Ritva continues with a very big chiddush. The Ritva says, well, we're learning in our Gemara that the shomer doesn't want to make a shvua shloi sholach bayad, and instead of making the shvua shloi sholach bayad, he's prepared to pay. So now there is no gilgul shvua. What do we say the gilgul shvua is? That because he's making a shvua shloi sholach bayad, he's also going to make a shvua that ain't a brishusai. But what's going to be the halacha where he's not making the shvua shloi sholach bayad because he's willing to pay? Will he anyway make a shvua shein a brishusai? Because there's no practical gilgul shvua here. And Ritva says a huge chiddush. Ritva says that once there's a halacha through gilgul shvua, that you make a shvua she'enai sholach bayad, the halacha of gilgul shvua tells us that even in a case where there won't be in this situation a gilgul shvua, because he's not swearing sholach bayad, because he's ready to pay and not make that shvua, still the shvua she'ena b'rishusoi, which normally is in place because of the gilgul shvua, will still remain in place. Says the Gemara Meisvei. The Mishnah Masechta Shvua teaches us a malvah chaver al mashkin. There's a malva and a loiva, and the loiva gave a mashkin to the malva, and then that mashkin got lost. Vavad mashkin, the mashkin got lost. Vama, and just to get the currency, a sella is worth 2 shkolim, and a shekel has each 2 denarim. So in every sella, there's 4 denarim. And that is a debate between the malva and the loiva. The malva says to the loiva, selva ha'asicha, you lent me a sella, which is equal to 2 shkolim, the shekel ha'yeshava, and the mashkin was worth a shekel, the lo'aymer, and the loiva says, lo'y ki ala sella avisani, you lent me a sella, the sella yeshava, and the mashkin was worth a shava, was worth a sella, potter. The halacha is that the loiva doesn't have to pay, nor does he have to swear, because he's a kaifer akol. He's saying, I don't owe you anything. However, sella havasicha alav. The malva says, I lent you a sella, 2 shkolim. The shekel yeshava, and the mashkin was worth a shekel, and therefore you still owe me a shekel. I agree that you sent me 4 denarim. You lent me a seller which is equal to 4 denarim. However, the mashkin was worth 3 denarim, and I owe you a dinner. So now we have a case of a moida b'miksas. And as we learned in Masechta Baba Kama extensively, a moida b'miksas has to swear. Next case, selva alavasichalov. The loiva says to the says, you let me sell up, and shnayim ha'yeshava, and the mashkin was worth 2 sella. So now you owe me a sella. The law aimer loya kol sella v'sicha. The malva says I lent you a sella, the sella yeshava, and that was the value of the mashkin. I owe you nothing. We'd cancel it. It's out. He's potter. But if the loiva says, selva l'sonei love, you lent me a sella, and shnayim ha'yishav, and the mashkin was worth shnayim, v'loi amaloi el kela selva sicha love, I lent you a sella, v'chamishim denar ma'yishav, and the mashkin was worth a sella and a quarter, so I only owe you a dinner. So he's a moed of a mixus, chayiv. Points out the Mishnah, min nishba, and the, so now in certain cases we said that a shvu is required, and the Allah question is, min nishba, who's the one that swears? Says the Mishnah, misha b'kadon etzloi. The mouth is the one that swears, for we need to be concerned. Shema yishava, maybe the loiv is going to swear, v'yotza Allah is b'kadon, and then he'll pull out the b'kadon, and he'll be caught, and he'll show that what he said was not true, and he becomes disqualified for being an aid. So to avoid that, the malva, who may be holding on to it, will swear. The Tosfos, quoting Rabbeinu Chananel, has a whole different approach. He says that the halacha of making a shvua is always that the person who's more likely to be able to make an accurate shvua is the one that's supposed to make the shvua. And therefore, here, he's the one that has to make the shvua, that he has to make the shvua because he maybe has the malva. Ask the Gemara, hi, which case was the same? Ilei Masefa, if we're going to speak about the fourth case, that's where the Mishnah says, that where the malva says, I owe you, but not as much as you think I owe you. Of course, typically the shvu gav malvahu, the kamoidu mixes a taina. The law of halacha always is that if you're moidu mixes, you have to swear. El am a shvu, what is the case? A ratio. My ratio, what's the ratio? A safe for the ratio. It's talking about the second case of the ratio, where it says, selva sichalov, where he says, I lent you a sella, shekel a yeshava, and the mashkin was only worth a shekel, velo ama. And the loiva says, loy el sella v'sinim, love. You lent me a sella, a shlosha denar ha'yishava, chayiv. The shvur nami loiva hi. That the shvur should really be made by the loiva, because he's the ma'idah b'mikzis. V'omer rabbonin, the shtabul ha'malva. But Chazal said that the malva should be the one to swear, as we just explained, because the halach is that we're concerned, shem ha'yishava zav yotza los b'kodim. But says the Gemara, vim Isa, L'Rav Huna, if Rav Huna said that whenever a shomer swears, he has to swear, and a b'shusay, says the Gemara, kiyin m'shtava malva. So if there's a halacha that the malva has to swear anyway, because ain't a b'shusay, so how could we be concerned? We said that why do we make the malva always swear? Because he may pull out the mashkin. How could it be that he will pull out the mashkin? If he already made a shvua, that's einar brishusai. The Sefer Siach Safri Kodesh says there was once a woman who had amassed a significant amount of money for being able to marry off her daughter, and she came to Alexander Rebbe to ask him to watch the money, and he went and he put it in his cup in his coat pocket, and then he hung up his coat, whatever, and his coat and the money was stolen from the coat. He told his attendant what happened, and his attendant said, who puts money into a coat pocket? But then the Rebbe said, I want you to call a certain individual, and I know that he's the ganef. And he called that individual and he said, I know you're the one that stole the money. And he ultimately admitted that he was. So everybody was amazed. How was the Rebbe able to know that this was the thief? He says, don't be amazed. He says, I remember when we were learning in yeshiva, we were learning this sugi that we just learned in our shiur today. And we spoke about the shvua that a shomer has to make, she'ena b'shusoy. And this young boy asked the question, why is that going to be considered a good shvua? Maybe this shomer, before he comes to Beis Din to make the shvua that ain't a b'shusai, asks somebody to hold this object for him. So when he makes the shvua afterwards that Einer Breshusoi, he's really saying the truth. Because at that moment, it's Einer Breshusoi. So the Rebbe said, I saw that this boy has in him this ability to try to end up holding on to something that's not his. And that's why I assume that he might be the Ganef.